Hey, this is Eddie. Thanks so much for checking out the show today. Today, no guest. So I had Lee Johnson from Go Pain Go on last week. It was pretty awesome, actually, to get some perspective of somebody that lives on the other side of the world. You know, one thing that this whole process of, you know, learning about chronic pain and kind of studying chronic pain and chronic illness has done is that it's afforded me this great opportunity to talk to people all over the world that have different perspectives and different experiences and things of that nature. It's just been really, really cool. And so, but this week I kind of want to touch on a few things. It's sort of going to be a, what do we call it? Like a gumbo of topics or something along those lines, you know, whatever the right terminology is, but where, you know, I kind of touch on a few things. You know, I want to tap into sort of updates when it comes to some of the things that I've learned about the whole Sarno process and things like that. And then I want to get into, you know, weight loss and where I feel like the connection can be between the weight loss and the same kind of ideas that Sarno teaches, because I think there's a lot of parallels. You know, if you know me or know anything about me, you know that I have, you know, fought the obesity thing, but I've also fought the chronic pain thing, and I tend to find a lot of parallels between the two. And then also, you know, in a few weeks, you're going to hear this great interview that I did with Steve Ozanich, who wrote The Great Pain Deception. Him and I, you know, we talked for an hour for the actual podcast, but then we talked another hour and a half after the podcast, which was pretty awesome to just kind of pick this genius on the topic, you know, pick his brain and really get an idea and a sense of, you know, some of his off-air comments were pretty cool. But I told him I wasn't recording, so I wasn't recording, and, you know, none of that stuff will come to light. So, you know, recently, like just in the last couple of days, there's a lot of thought and theory behind the Sarno piece, and I actually just recently watched this documentary called Heal, which was pretty amazing. I think it's worth checking out. It was recommended on Twitter by Jeff Probst, who is he's the host of Survivor, which ultimately made me kind of jump through and spend the $12 to buy it on Amazon. But I watched it, and, you know, really pretty amazing. It echoes a lot of the same kind of stuff that I've been talking about on this podcast for months, in that your emotions and your sort of emotional being really dictates your health. You know, it really dictates how you're going to feel from day to day, and even will place the groundwork for things like cancer and things like terminal illnesses. And then they start talking about radical remissions, and how there was a woman on there who's an expert in radical cancer remissions. And she says there's been radical remissions for every type of cancer once it's at stage four and somebody is basically on the deathbed. You know, what is it that's making those people, you know, really sort of change and be able to sort of change the path and not die, and then ultimately go on to live pretty normal lives after that? And there were 9 key characteristics, and only 2 of them were physical. And I think that it was a change of diet and taking herbs and supplements. The rest was taking out negative thinking and being in touch with your emotions and expressing your emotions. There was a lot of these things around that those were the commonalities of the people that went on to survive and went on to have these great lives. Really pretty amazing, because, again, it's like what Sarno has been talking about in his books, and a lot of the study that I've been doing in this certainly revolves around that. And so as I've gone on and read additional materials, you know, think of your brain or your being. It's like you have your conscious self. So, you know, what you're thinking about, like right now I'm looking at my dog and he keeps licking his paw and it's highly annoying, right? That kind of frustration or anger with my dog is not what would cause me the pain, because I can feel, you know, I can feel it. I can look at him and I can tell him, and he's looking at me right now, so he knows that I find it incredibly annoying. But then there's the unconscious side of it, which is essentially what is it that you can't feel. And the unconscious sort of gets, it's grouped in with what is called the id, which is essentially the child inside of you. And, you know, as bad as it is, obviously, to have chronic issues and chronic pain and all that kind of thing about, you know, the conscious self and things like that, like as terrible as it is, one thing that I think it does really well is it serves as a barometer of what's going on inside of you. That's actually stolen from Howard Stern, but it is certainly a barometer of what's going on inside of you. Let me give you a good example. So I had Nicole Sachs on the show several weeks ago, and she was talking about, we were discussing this story of mine where I had I had like a relapse into my pain. I was completely pain-free for a couple of weeks. I had no idea why, but something had slipped into the unconscious that told me that it's going to be okay, deep down that it's going to be okay. And then Zoe was being just overly annoying on this one particular day, and she takes her you know, I'm already kind of annoyed, and then she takes her shoes and she throws them out the window when we're at the gas station, and I lean over to pick it up, and then I go into spasm. And my guess now on learning about how it's essentially a barometer for what's going on inside of you, because ultimately, like, what this pain is doing is a wake-up call. Like, you're thinking there's something in your unconscious that you're thinking about that you can't let bubble up to the surface. So my best guess in that instance is that I would never hurt my child. I would never hit my child. That's not me. That's not but the unconscious part of you really has no, you know, they have no bearing. They have no censorship. They are primitive. They are primal. They're out there. They're the caveman in you. They're the fight or flight, if you will. And so maybe bending over at that particular moment, I was just like thinking, my unconscious is telling me how mad I am at Zoe, and that, you know, I'm thinking about spanking her or something that's terrible, right? Like, and because I cannot possibly let that ever come to surface, and I can't ever let it happen, boom, I get a muscle spasm, and then the entire body locks up. And that's really what happened. And it's really pretty amazing. And again, it's almost sort of a blessing that you have this component inside of you, again, the unconscious, that is really there to sort of monitor you and to back you off when you're getting so upset or so worked up about something. Like, that's really what it's serving its purpose there. And the Heal documentary, this guy had this great quote about, he said that essentially the unconscious and that part of you does a wonderful job of waking you up. I recently was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were talking about cancers and things like that. People that he knows that have had it, and kind of goes in to talk about their past and their history and you know, what it is that is about those people that have cancer in this instance. And this doesn't, you know, this isn't account for everybody, but in this particular instances that we were speaking about, you know, they had bad childhoods, or they had traumatic childhoods, elements of trauma when they were very, very young. And these sorts of things really stick with you for a long, long time. And so what you have there is that now you have developed this sort of groundwork for cancer to develop, or at the very least, you already have some kinds of bacteria or infections or cancer perhaps inside of you already, and the igniter is those negative emotions, those negative thoughts. And again, they're in the unconscious. You have really no concept and no power over them. They've got the power over you. That inner child inside of you is really telling you, I'm running the show. What you need to do is flip the script in your conscious self, the part of you that interprets things and understands, and, like, you know, again, going back to, I can see that my dog is licking his paw, right? That's the conscious side of me. That I need to remind that unconscious that I am in control, and I'm in control of this. I've got all my, you know, all my faculties together, everything like that. That's really what a lot of that is about. Again, very amazing stuff. And so I feel like in the coming weeks, the Steve Ozanich interview is going to air in a couple of weeks. I'm actually interviewing a guy that works on, like, behavioral change in the corporate world, corporate environment, and he's gone on to do, like, nutrition coaching and fitness coaching as well. But what I'm going to be picking his brain on is this idea of behavioral change as it occurs in corporate America. And so, you know, you have people that are very, very high performing executives or high performing people in the business world, and ultimately, like, certain mindsets, how can it send them into a downward spiral, right? Like, in a lot of different ways. And I feel like there's something very important and compelling there that him and I are hopefully going to get into. So there's certainly that. You know, one of the other things that I want to touch on certainly is this idea of gratitude. So in that Heal documentary, one of the doctors had talked about being in a state of gratitude and how important that is to the overall being. My wife and I were talking about this a couple of nights ago. We were connecting it into how, really a lot of times it's like the chase or the quest is much more fulfilling than when you actually achieve whatever the end result is, the end of the road, you know, living life ultimately, you know, this, it's a great example. So, life is great, right? So like you go along and you're living life and all these wonderful things are happening, and then you get to the end and you die. Obviously that's bad, right? So you live this life, and that the conquest and the hunt and the chase is supposed to be much better than what the, you know, what the end result is. And I think oftentimes it is that way. You know, I can also shrink it down to like competitive weightlifting. Let's say that I were ever good enough to get to an American Open or Nationals or something like that. Like, yeah, that's really cool. But all the fun of that entire thing, like I got to the end goal, but then what, right? Like not getting to the Olympics, not winning a world title. It was training along the way. It was actually being, you know, being on the platform and training in the garage in the early morning or late at night or in the freezing cold or whatever the case is, or training alone at a gym or training with a lot of people. Like those are all the things that really make the process fun, make the hobbies fun. It's not necessarily what the end result is. You know, another good example of that is like when I was finally the top salesperson, 2015, chasing that for several years were the best times of my career. And then even chasing that and sort of going, you know, me and the other two people that were, you know, depending on what week you looked at, they were one or I was one or they were two and I was two, like whatever the case is, that entire chase was so great and so much fun. And then when you get to the end and you achieve it, it's like, well, now what? Because you can only really come down from that is the thing. So, you know, certainly keep that in mind. So, I also wanted to touch briefly on, you know, I work with a bunch of different clients on, dieting and things like that. And, I thought it was so interesting. I had this call with a client of mine about a week ago, and she's been having trouble actually like recording macros and recording her nutrition and sort of doing the things that are necessary for this program to work, and really any nutrition program to work, like really sort of keeping your eye on the ball and making sure that you're being diligent in things. And the goal is not to be diligent in tracking food and you know, doing this for the rest of your life, because that's not sustainable. And I think it's pretty annoying actually. But what I was telling her is, you know, the importance obviously of, like, right now she's in a learning stage. Like you're learning how to do this stuff, and don't freak out. Don't take it too seriously. Like, but ultimately, like you need to spend usually 3 months, like 12 weeks, 90 days, whatever you want to call it, actually learning how to do this stuff, understanding what 4 ounces is, understanding what a pound is, understanding what 12 cups of water feels like at the end of a day, like really being able to understand a lot of these things. And she was talking about just, you know, having trouble doing it. And I was trying to connect the dots on why, you know, why is it? Is it logging on the phone? Is it logging on the computer? Like what's the actual problem? And then she got into telling me about how she has this journal recently that she bought, this gratitude journal. So the idea is that like daily you're tracking different elements of gratitude, and you're talking about the things that you're grateful for, but you're also tracking food, and it's actually in the same journal and they're on the same pages. And like, gosh, what a great idea for somebody if they're going to come up with some kind of a food log, to actually throw in some gratitude in addition to it. And this goes back to, I've talked about it in the past, but where I find some links between obesity, fulfillment, so obesity, and then in chronic pain. And where I think that a lot of that is like, again, the unconscious self. Like a lot of times I think that people will eat a lot and overeat and things like that because they're bored. Like there may be genetic predispositions, who knows, for people to become obese or whatever. But ultimately it's a self-esteem problem and it's an anxiety problem. And, you know, people want to go for comfort. Like when they get anxious about something, or they, you know, it could be a variety of different things, but they go for comfort. And for some people that comfort is drugs and they become a drug addict, or it's alcohol and they become an alcoholic, or it's pain, they're a pain addict, right? Or their food, which is, you know, it's, I don't want to say that it's normal, but, it's not necessarily abnormal either. You're finding a vice, and a lot of different people have a vice. And so, where that connection is, where I believe that connection is that you're essentially satisfying that deeper self, that unconscious self, by giving it food and giving it junk food and feeding it sugar and doing a lot of these other things when it's just not really necessary. If you sort of talk to your brain, which is a big part of Sarno theory, talk to your brain, tell them that you are in control. They are not in control. You know, you're not going to eat a bunch of sugary shit for them to feel better, because that's not sustainable. You're not in control. There's actually this great, this great quote. This is going back to the pain piece. Let me find it. I'm going to pull it up here. But somebody in a Mind Body Syndrome TMS group that I follow posted this great script, and it's something where, again, Sarno Theory goes back to talking to your brain. The Heal documentary talks about the importance of being in touch with your with yourself. And apparently the conversation between your conscious and your subconscious, or unconscious in this case, is very powerful, and it is a real thing. So check out this script. Unconscious mind, I'm talking directly to you. Listen to me. I am in charge. Do you understand me? I am in control. I am aware of what you are doing. You are causing my pain. You are afraid of many issues. You are causing pain to distract my attention away from these issues. But I can handle these issues, no matter what they are. I am strong. I am in charge. I will not act on these issues, so there's nothing to fear. Do you understand me? I know there are painful feelings inside of me. I know that I may even blame myself. I know that I am angry about that. It's not fair. Listen to me. Stop it. I am in control, not you. Do you understand me? And then the person goes on to talk about the whole idea is to reverse the pattern. When you're suffering, your subconscious or unconscious mind is running the show, which is completely the case. Again, like if you're, for me, I think in my case, like, you know, not having success or not selling well or not being the number one person in the company, like that child in me who was so soothed at the thought of being highly successful and being liked and being respected and all those things that not all of us admit that we want, but we ultimately do want deep down inside, that part of me was fulfilled. And then when it was not fulfilled, that, you know, that little, the unconscious, the child inside of all of us, becomes very fearful and becomes, you know, very afraid. And so, starts to generate pain or starts to generate illness or starts to generate infection or ignite the infection, like I was talking about earlier. So this is, it's like pretty scary stuff, right? If you're not in touch with those kinds of things, it can and will result in future problems and future pain. And so, a way to get out a lot of that again is the gratitude piece, but it's not even just positive thinking. You can do all the positive thinking that you want, but if the emotions are still there and they're not being addressed, then the positive thinking is really just going to be a Band-Aid. Excuse me. Coming over, I'm getting over a cold right now. But, you know, the nice thing about working on this stuff, too, is like I'm sure that the cause for the cold, right, it might have been caught something viral or whatever the case is, but your immune system is chronically deficient if you're somebody that's kind of stressed out and worrying about a lot of these things all the time. The great thing, though, is that I was really only sick for 2 days. This started Friday night. Saturday sucks. Sunday was really bad. And then Monday I start to feel better. And then today I start to feel better. So I feel much better than I sound, if I sound terrible. As I record this, it's December 19th. So you're going to be hearing this the next day. And then I'm going to be doing that recording with the behavioral change person here a little bit later today, and that's not going to air for another few weeks. But meant to be a short podcast today. I think ultimately it's a sense of gratitude. You know, as I sit here and I think about what's coming in the next few weeks, you know, 3 weeks from Thursday is the birth of my baby girl, and I would love to interview my wife, do a little podcast about my wife or with my wife here sometime in the next couple of weeks. Or a family member, you know, somebody like that. Like it's Christmas time, it's the holidays. It'd be really cool. Maybe a couple days after Christmas to sit down with my wife and, you know, we can kind of hammer out some stuff and talk about some things on the podcast. I think that'd be really cool. So, again, you know, thanks for listening to this. It's Wednesday, December 20th. Hope everybody's going to have a fantastic Christmas. Short listen again. You know, go out, travel, enjoy your family. Enjoy the opportunity that you have to be around the people that you love, the opportunity you have even to have a medium to be able to even listen to a podcast like this, to spend 20 minutes with me on your Wednesday is certainly very, you know, very much appreciated. So have a great holiday, and we will talk to you next week.